If I had to pick a motto for the rest of this 2016 Chiefs season, I think right now it would simply be the phrase, do it again. And as the Chiefs face the New Orleans Saints on Sunday, they're going to have a perfect opportunity to be able to connect some of the doubts and some of the optimism that I think so many Chiefs fans must feel right now. Welcome to the Rev the Kicker podcast on Blog Talk Radio and ArrowheadAddict.com. I'm your host, Joshua Briscoe, on Twitter at JB Briscoe. That's what this show's about. This show is about previewing the Chiefs-Saints game coming on Sunday and what the Chiefs are going to have to do, both in a broad way and in a very specific way, to get the win in Arrowhead to move to 4-2 against one of the best offenses in football, also one of the worst defenses in football, all packed up into one very stereotypically New Orleans Saints, Sean Payton, Drew Brees kind of team. Also, we have some news from the week that I didn't get to on the last episode of the show that broke right after about Justin Houston and some news from the Saints. We'll start there, then we'll break down the game and see how it's going to go come Sunday. Right after I wrapped up the last episode of this show, the Raiders recap, news broke that Justin Houston, much to my surprise, had returned to Chiefs practice, which is a great sign. We talked a little bit about his upcoming return, the possibility of him coming off the physically unable to perform list pretty soon, and when it could be that he could return and actually be a factor for this Chiefs team. I was in no way prepared for that to be this week, for him to return to practice and start doing actual football-type activities or whatever had been thrown around previously. This is a nice bright spot, and my mindset form still hasn't really changed, though, for when it is borderline vital to have him back and when it would be nice to have him back. He's not going to play against the Saints. I'd be incredibly surprised to see him back October 30th at the Colts, although that would be a great time to see him. I think the Chiefs have a chance to win that game and have that game become very, very important for the playoff picture, and that the chances to beat the Colts improve tremendously with Justin Houston. But again, I look at the schedule. The Chiefs should beat the Jags at home regardless. Winning in Carolina and then the Buccaneers at home in back-to-back weeks, those are both NFC teams that obviously those wins still completely matter, but I'm a little less concerned about them than I am the game following right after that, which is in Denver. Think of November 27th as a deadline here. November 27th is the next Chiefs divisional game. They've won the two divisional games so far, then they don't have another one until week 12 at Denver. Then again, week 16 is the Broncos at home, week 17 is at the Chargers, and the Raiders are on Thursday night in week 14. If Justin Houston can be back and completely Justin Houston for those games, to where, you know, he gets a little bit of work at the Panthers, gets maybe he gets a full game of work with the Buccaneers at home, and then going to Denver, there's just not even any concern anymore about his knee. That is a beautiful scenario for me. I'm not in any hurry to see Justin Houston, but as long as he can be back by the end of November in as healthy of a shape as possible. A reason that I think we should all maintain a little bit of pessimism right now, or at least a little bit of caution, is because what's happening to the knees around the team. Jamaal Charles, now this is breaking news from today, he's listed as questionable after missing practice on Friday with knee swelling. That's discouraging in a big way, just because he had been brought back very cautiously, it seemed like. He had been effective in his snaps against the Raiders last week. Spencer Ware was still the workhorse, but Charles got plenty of, I mean, he didn't get a lot of work, but he got plenty of touches to be able to start to get a feel for his return. They're not calling this a setback, like in the case of Doug Martin, the Buccaneers running back. He got hurt, and then in his rehab at some point, he had a setback, I think this week, which sort of pushed his return date back. That's not the language being used here for Jamaal Charles, but because he actually got on the field and he hasn't missed any time yet. But I think this does, if nothing else, I think this is going to make the whole Chiefs team a little bit more cautious again with how they deal with Jamaal Charles. Frankly, even after trading Nile Davis, that's fine with me. If he misses games, as far as I know, Darren Reeves is still on the practice squad, and a three-headed running back monster of Spencer Ware, who has been absolutely dynamic, Tre'Kendrick West, who has become a total add-on to this package, hasn't even been an afterthought. But think about how good he was last year in the absence of Jamaal Charles. He's still there. Bring up Darren Reeves to be your third guy. Those are three running backs that I still have a lot of faith in, even if Jamaal Charles is completely out of the game. So I think the Chiefs, with that in mind, are going to stay conservative with his return. And you just got to hope it doesn't ever get worse than this. Also, and maybe in some ways right now for me more concerning, is Philip Gaines. He's also questionable. He had the knee swelling in the Raiders game. This is something that I'm afraid to see become a pattern with Phillip Gaines, who has been, you know, he missed basically all of last season, got hurt in week three, missed all of last season with his knee injury, was brought back slowly through training camp, which is good. Feel free to be cautious with your guys' knees. That's totally, he's at no fault here. I'm just very concerned. I don't want to call him injury prone yet because he's dealing with the same injury. But the problem with Phillip Gaines and his return and his current, you know, maybe minor setbacks or maybe major setbacks for all we know. He missed most of the game last week. The problem with his setbacks is he's not, and this is an understatement, he is not playing at a position of surplus for the Chiefs like Jamaal Charles is. With or without Jamaal Charles, this is a above average backfield, and no question in my mind. With Jamaal Charles, it's the deepest backfield in football, and it's not particularly close. I mean, the Steelers have a couple of really, really talented running backs, but I would take three deep. Give me Ware, Charles, West, any day of the week. But it is just an incredibly, incredibly strong backfield. Phillip Gaines, though, is certainly the second best option at outside corner on this team. Marcus Peters is a playmaker, a ball hawk. He's the guy. I don't know if he's a lockdown guy yet, just because that's not really his character as a football player. We've talked about Marcus Peters a lot. I don't think we're ever going to really see him be Darrell Revis. We're going to always see him play almost, this is a cross-position comparison, we're going to see him play more like Ed Reed, a guy who somehow always seems to end up with his hands on the ball, which is great. I love that about Marcus Peters. That is not a criticism. Phillip Gaines, to me, has lockdown corner potential, where quarterbacks will get baited into firing at Marcus Peters again because it looks like there's space between him and his guy, and Phillip Gaines is just draped over whoever he's covering. And Steven Nelson, who is the most vulnerable of the three starters, is still, as a second-year guy who didn't get on the field much last year, has played very, very well so far this season, playing predominantly in the slot. Outside, he does not have the same kind of success. So lately what's been happening, and I feel like this is validating to me personally, I feel like Bob Sutton can hear me, I've said under no circumstances should Steven Nelson be moved outside. So what the Chiefs are doing instead now is whenever Phillip Gaines has been out, DJ White, the sixth-round draft pick rookie, has been stepping in as the number two outside corner so Steven Nelson can stay in the slot. And I think, without question, that's the best setup here. Then you give DJ White more often than not, you give him the safety help because he's going to need it. The learning curve from sixth-round talent to NFL starter is very, very steep, especially because the Chiefs keep their corners at the same side of the field all the time. So if the Saints want to, say, have Brandon Cooks go to DJ White's side of the field, if he is, in fact, on the field, he just has to deal with Brandon Cooks. So maybe what happens is the Chiefs defensively in this game, to get ahead of myself a little bit, maybe they let the safety help follow Brandon Cooks. But Drew Brees is going to find weapons and to find options here, and I think generally his best option will be whoever is going up against DJ White. I think DJ White is going to end up being a pretty good corner in the league. I don't even know if that qualifies as a number two corner, but if he's your third best outside corner, I think the Chiefs are in pretty good shape. Right now, though, he just needs a lot of help. And maybe this is meaningless, what I'm about to clarify, but I don't say that as like... Where I feel like Jamaal Fleming needed a lot of help. I feel like Jamaal Fleming needed a lot of help because he just was what he was, and that was pretty much it. Right now, DJ White, I have a lot of hope about him growing in the future. I think the Chiefs do also. But right now, I think he needs a lot of help. We saw that in the first half against Amari Cooper. First half, he was getting just blown up on by Derek Carr and Amari Cooper. Second half, Amari Cooper had one reception. What I think that shows is that there was an adjustment made to say, all right, DJ needs help. Get some help over there. Let's slow Amari Cooper down. Watch their offense totally end up coming to a screeching halt. And it did. But most of that conversation can be avoided if Phillip Gaines does play and does stay healthy. But right now, that's not a great gamble. And I hope Gaines is healthy for as long as possible. So I think he's a very, very good corner, especially opposite Marcus Peters. On the Saints' side of the field, Terez Paylor reports that left tackle Andres Pete, cornerback Sterling Moore, cornerback Delvin Brew, and linebacker Daniel Ellerbe are all Saints starters who are going to miss Sunday's game due to different injuries. That's a lot of starters, and you could do the math on the Chiefs and how the guards have been playing or not playing this year, and little injuries like that pull up. But we're talking about two starting corners, your left tackle, and a starting linebacker, especially on a defense that has been struggling. And I actually, this is an ignorance of mine that I should have prepared for but didn't. I don't know how long those defensive players have been out for the Saints, and I'm sure that losing them previously has been a detriment to their defense. But on any level, either their defense is getting more injured or is staying as injured and as bad as it has been, which is great news for a Chiefs offense that could really use a spark here. Andres Pete being out just gives even more pressure, perhaps, to the Chiefs getting pressure. I'm going to talk about that later in the show. That's going to be a big key to the game. So there are your news updates about Houston, Charles, Gaines, and the Saints. Now let's get into the keys. Before we talk about how the game's going to go, I want to talk about how the show goes the way that it does. It's because people are supporting this show over at patreon.com/RTK. patreon.com/RTK. It's basically a virtual tip jar. It's like whenever you get nice service from a waiter or waitress that you think did a nice job, and you can tip them on your receipt. And there's no receipt here for podcasts. You just download podcasts for free. But if you like it well enough and you think, you know what, he should, the host of this podcast, of this wonderful Chiefs-based podcast, they should eat this week. They should not be homeless. Then you can go to patreon.com/RTK and throw a little bit of money my way. I will not be homeless. I will always try to make a podcast as good as possible, even if there is zero money at the end of the tunnel. But a lot of people have decided by their own accord to support this show financially, and I am tremendously thankful for all of them. And you can join this wonderful group of names. Up in the $20 group is Ty Declare at TyDeclare44 on Twitter. Then Andy Simpson, Randy Singh at Randy_Singh_, Ray Hines at Big Turf Guy, and Derek Vaughn at D_Vaughn88. And I think I forgot to say Derek's name a lot of times for like a month or something, maybe longer than Derek. I'm sorry. That's all. I am deeply apologetic. What's supposed to happen is if you support the show in the $20 group or the $10 group, I say thank you on the show and then give out your Twitter handle after your name if you have a Twitter. So I go follow at D_Vaughn88 and tell him you're doing it because I screwed up. $10 group is Christine Roadlander at C Roadlander on Twitter and Todd Sullivan at Tito Sullivino, my favorite Twitter handle to say on the show. And the $5 group is Josh Beadle. I can't say thank you enough to people who support this show by voluntarily throwing money at me from across the internet. If you'd like to do that, you can go to patreon.com/RTK, or you can just share the show with your friends. Subscribe on iTunes. Supporting the show by leaving reviews on iTunes and helping other people find it, it's one of the best ways you can help the show continue to grow. I'm eternally grateful for all of you. I hope that's not creepy. It's the 2-3 New Orleans Saints coming to the 3-2 Kansas City Chiefs. I think I mentioned in the intro here, the motto of this game, do it again. That's how the Chiefs are going to be for me for a long time this year, I think. And especially right now. But right now it's very specific. The do it again is not just be good again. It's do what you did against Oakland again. A lot of the same things that we were concerned about with the Raiders game, I'm concerned about here. A lot of the optimisms are the same, even all the way down to Khalil Mack and Cameron Jordan. I'll talk about that a little bit later on. A lot of parallels here, I think, to the Raiders game, except for this one, is at home. We're seeing a really good offense with a really poor defense, and the Chiefs are still who we thought they were. We saw bright spots last week, but I need to keep seeing it before I believe that's actually who they are. One bad game, and I think the knee-jerk response is, well, it was just one bad game. Usually, though, with one good game from a team you're a fan of, you go, all right, they're back. We've got to be able to keep our head on us here. One good game from the Chiefs is an absolute step in the right direction. I was very encouraged by the Oakland game. Now the Chiefs have a chance to begin to carve this identity in stone. And it's going to be a challenge because the Saints and the Chiefs are a very interesting matchup to me. In fact, a very dangerous matchup. The Saints are giving up 33.6 points per game this year, but they're scoring 31 points per game. After starting 0-3, they're now on a two-game winning streak after winning in San Diego and then beating Carolina in New Orleans. That's where the Saints are right now, but let's break down those points allowed and scored a little bit more. They lost 35-34 at home in Week 1 against Oakland. The Chiefs just held Oakland to 10 points. They lost at the Giants in Week 2, 16-13. That's the team's only game with fewer than 32 points. That's a lot fewer than 32 points. That's the only game with fewer than 32 points. They lost 45-32 against the Falcons at home, their biggest loss of the season. They won in San Diego 35-34. Then they had a bye week. Then they won at home against the Panthers 41-38. To summarize all of that, the Saints' two victories this year came at a 1 and a 3-point margin of victory. Their losses, though, were only by 1.3 points and then 13 points in that Falcons game. I think this is a fascinating matchup. Even without Philip Gaines most of last week, the defense stood pretty strong against a really good Raiders offense. But offensively for the Chiefs, they only scored 24 points against a pretty poor Raiders defense. I think in some cases, maybe the Saints are the slightly all-around smaller version of the Raiders, the older version of the Raiders, which I think, if you say it that way, bodes well because of the final score last week. But effectively, as we watch this game, I think it's going to come down to how well the defense can hold up Drew Brees and Brandon Cooks and the rest of the passing game, because Mark Ingram hasn't rushed for over 80 yards in a game yet this season. That's not going to happen on this defensive line and Derek Johnson. And I asked for some questions on Twitter at JB Briscoe right before the show. Andrew Dowdswell, who's been on the show to talk about the Brexit in the offseason, he said, "Are you worried about the secondary versus the Saints receivers?" Touched on the secondary a lot earlier. I am concerned about, until Drew Brees is retired or maybe dead, I'm going to be concerned about his potential to pick on bad matchups and have some giant plays on really well-placed balls past inexperienced corners. And the Chiefs have a lot of those holes in their defense right now. I'm absolutely afraid to see what happens when Brandon Cooks goes outside to DJ White's side, or whenever he goes into the slot up against Steven Nelson, or the rest of the Saints' weapons, which Drew Brees will find. Yes, I certainly have my concerns there. I'm not as concerned as I would have been if this game had happened last week, because seeing DJ White and seeing him get that help to hold up Amari Cooper in the second half was very encouraging. I think Marcus Peters will hold his own, but I definitely have some concerns about the secondary, no question. So as we watch the game, I think we'll be biting our nails for the defense. I think we'll be going, oh no, you know, if Cooks or somebody else gets past Peters here, or Peters will get beat a couple of times, I'll go, oh God, if the defense has got to hold up there. And effectively, as we watch the game, I think that's where our man in anxiety will be for the defense. But in the game plan of the game, in theory, in preparation here, I think this matchup actually really puts the pressure on the offense. Now hear me out, because this sounds like a pretty cushy gig for the offense, which is like exactly why I think the pressure falls to them. The Saints lead the league in points per game allowed, or are worst in the league in points per game allowed, depending on how you look at it, with 33.6. That's worst in the league by almost 3 entire points. The Chiefs are 18th in the league in points scored. And that's simply not a good enough ranking for a team that was supposed to have an identity built on Andy Reid's offense this year. But that's, you know, that's a larger scope question. But that's where they are right now. Middle of the road. A little bit bottom half. Bottom half of the league in points scored, going against the worst defense in football as far as points scored. The Chiefs are 10th in the league in points per game allowed, which is hugely skewed by the 43 that the Steelers put up. I would argue they're probably better than that. But the Saints are scoring the second most points. So the number 10 defense versus the number 2 offense. The middle ground there would be fine with me. If the defense allows 24 points or fewer here, the defense has done its job, in my estimation. And again, even those numbers are skewed by this the Steelers game. You might even be able to argue, though, that if the defense allows less than 33 points in this game, they've done their job. Because if the Chiefs are an average offense, okay, pay attention to this bit here. If the Chiefs are an average offense that has an average day against the Saints, they should be putting up about 34 points. That's how bad the Saints' offense, Saints' defense has been this year. But that's not how this is going to work. And the Saints have played some pretty good offenses with those teams that I've named off. But the Chiefs belong, if they belong as an average offense on an average day, you're at least scoring 30 points. But that's not how this game is going to work. The Saints are the best offense the Chiefs will have faced all year. And after the Raiders, the Giants, the Falcons, the Chargers, and the Panthers, at least statistically, the Chiefs are the worst offense the Saints have seen all year. The Chiefs' defense is seeing the best offense it's seen. The Saints' defense is about to see the worst offense it's seen. Those things seem to point in the direction of, well, things are going to go better than we expected for the Saints. I would kind of agree with that. On the plus side, though, this is the best or second best defense the Saints have seen so far this year, with the possible exception of the Giants. The Giants are in the same neighborhood defensively as the Chiefs are, I would argue. The Giants held the Saints to 13 points. That's a tremendous encouragement. But we can only look back at entire teams so far. So what specifically can the Chiefs do here to have more of a Giants sort of final line than a game against with what happens to the Panthers? Because I don't think the Chiefs right now offensively, even with the Saints' struggles, I don't think they can hang in a game that goes up into the 40s. I don't see that happening. Here's how the Chiefs do this. A couple of leading up keys and then a major key. Chris Jones is going to be a three down defensive weapon for the first time in his career. With Alan Bailey's injury knocking him out for the season, it's going to be Chris Jones, unless something crazy happens, Chris Jones getting the start and then getting the majority of the snaps in this game beside Dontari Poe and opposite Jay Howard. That's still a really strong front three. I feel fine about that, but that's new for him. And I think he's going to, all rookies seem to have a little bit of trouble whenever they have to decide. And the coaches decide, the scheme decides, whenever they have to be prepared to either stop the run or go get pressure. It's a different, there are these slightly different mindsets of, am I just trying to get into the backfield or am I trying to stay here and hold my ground? That's going to be a challenge for Chris Jones doing that every single play. And overall, the defense is going to have a hard time getting pressure. Breeze has stayed clean all year. He's been sacked about a time and a half per game. And the Chiefs have struggled to get pressure all year. The last week was a nice step forward. So does D Ford build on his last week? Going back to that mantra of do it again? Can D Ford do it again here? Can the defensive line get to Drew Breeze? They're not going to have their rotation of four really tremendous defensive linemen. They're down to three now, and they're down to three for the rest of the season. Can a rest-free Jay Howard, Chris Jones, and Dontari Poe get pressure? They were having trouble getting pressure when Alan Bailey was still a part of it. Alan Bailey might be the best pass rusher on that front three. That getting pressure on Drew Brees is going to be difficult here, but that was supposed to be difficult against Derek Carr last week, and they got some pressure on him. So that's the first key, and it's going to be a key every game until Justin Houston gets back and hopefully fixes the problem. And that's pretty optimistic of me. On the other side of the ball, back in the pass rush issue, the Chiefs cannot be beaten by defensive lineman Cam Jordan. And I think the optimism again here comes from looking at last week. Khalil Mack had a sack early in the game and then was never heard from again. A tremendous showing by the entire Chiefs offensive line last week, not just holding up Mack, but also giving running lanes to the running backs. The Saints are averaging a little less than two sacks per game, so if you keep Smith upright, you keep that number down under two sacks especially, you've got to feel pretty good about what the offense can do here. But the Chiefs are going to have to use their strengths. And that shouldn't be something that you have to wonder about. That should be kind of obvious. But in this case, the final key of this game, the major key of this game to me, is that the Chiefs use their strength of the running game. And with Andy Reid, I think we're all pretty conditioned to have some doubts about his willingness to do that. The Saints are allowing a little less than 120 rushing yards per game this year. Spencer Ware is having an incredible season. Charkandrick West is quality. Jamaal Charles is questionable, but incredibly dangerous if he plays. This is how the Chiefs can control this game, and they have to control this game. The defense is going to be tested on Sunday. The best way to keep it rested and challenged as infrequently as possible is to slow the game down, string together some of those stereotypical, like Alex Smith in the run game, 8-minute, 10-minute drives, and then they have to end in touchdowns. But if that happens, then the defense has to get a few stops, and I think they can do that. I just got a question on Twitter from Billy, at Chocolate Shake. What's the probability of Drew Brees just lighting the Chiefs up? I'll tell you how we can definitely not. If he doesn't have the ball very much. if Drew Brees, and this is kind of this is kind of counterintuitive, but I think the answer to that is basically, like, I could tell you if he will light up the Chiefs or not if you tell me how many possessions the Chiefs have in this game. Because if the Chiefs have some long drives that end in touchdowns, then Drew Brees is going to have, and the Saints are going to have enough mistakes. There'll be a couple of interceptions. There'll be a fumble. There'll be a couple of three and outs. Some bad things will happen to the Saints' offense. I want to give them as few possessions as possible. Because as they get more and more chances, I don't see that as a situation like with the Jets, where the more times that Ryan Fitzpatrick got the ball, the more times he gave it back. The more times Drew Brees gets the ball, the more times he's going to score. The more times he is going to make Marcus Peters look like a rookie again. The more times he's going to make DJ White look like a sixth-round pick. The more times he's going to make Steven Nelson get completely lost in the middle of the field. Whenever you give Drew Brees the ball and you give him chances and you say, all right, we couldn't do anything with it. We had to punt. You get the ball in the 25. And here you go. Do that eight times. Those are going to end in big plays and in touchdowns. Plenty of times for the Saints to win this game. So I think there's a 30 to 40% chance Drew Brees just lights the team up. I think this game is closer than the line, which was like open at like 6 points or something. But I think there's a really good chance, a better chance of that, a 50, 60% chance that Drew Brees is very good against the Chiefs. That the offense rolls pretty well, that the Chiefs defense looks like it's on its heels a little bit, that he's picking up some nice chunks of yardage, that the Saints do move the ball well. But it's not going to look like lighting the Chiefs up as long as the Chiefs are the team controlling the pace. If the Saints control the pace and it ends up being a game that ends up with, you know, 70 to 80 total points combined, then the Chiefs are screwed, man. The Chiefs don't have that kind of pace in them right now. And that's fine. They don't have to. They just have to impose their pace on the Saints. If the Chiefs get caught trying to play Saints football, they're going to lose at home. And we're going to be back at 500 looking around going, man, this team is just so confusing. But I don't think that happens. I think the Chiefs control the pace of the game here a little bit. I think Drew Brees does make a few mistakes. I think the Chiefs completely shut out the Saints run game. I would be shocked to see Mark Ingram do much of anything here. I think they control the Saints defense completely. I think they score enough points. I think the crazy stats even out here. I don't think the Chiefs are going to score 40. I don't think the Saints are going to score 38. But I think in a nice like 24-21 kind of game, the Chiefs do win at home here. And I feel pretty good about it. I have a hard time saying that the reason I say 24-21 is because I have a hard time saying that the Saints are going to score less than three touchdowns. And I have a hard time saying that the Chiefs are going to score more than 24 points. But I could see the Chiefs actually end up winning this game by a full touchdown. I don't think it's ever going to be easy, though, to watch because the speed that the Saints can come back in. The Chiefs cannot start slowly. They cannot let the Saints get ahead quickly, as they almost let the Raiders do last week. Because if that happens, then they're back into that pacing issue. And that's the key to this game. If the Saints get up early, God forbid they get up 10 points early, then all of a sudden you start to wonder, well, can the Chiefs catch up here? The Chiefs have got to go drive and score. They can do that slowly, but what if they score slowly and it's 10-3 or 10-7 and the Saints have an 80-yard touchdown to Brandon Cooks right away? Then what? You're playing catch-up. The Chiefs cannot play catch-up with the Saints. That's just not an option here. And maybe with some teams you could argue that they can. That's not the case with New Orleans. The Chiefs are not going to go bomb for bomb from Brees to Cooks and Smith to Macklin. I simply don't see that happening here. Now, the Chiefs can end up with some big plays by exploiting the weaknesses of the Saints' offense. And in fact, I think that probably happens maybe I was going to say once or twice. That felt too ambitious. Maybe that happens once this game where Tyreek Hill gets an 8-yard pass that turns into a 70-yard touchdown. I could see that happening. But by design, big plays, a high-scoring game, hugely favors the Saints here. Keep it at your pace, Andy Reid, but not your pace. Keep it at Spencer Ware's pace. Keep it at Alex Smith's pace. Score first. You decide how the game is played. Chiefs win at home, move on to 4-2, and we've got an optimistic season building even more. Before we wrap up this week's show, I'm going to take one more question. And I didn't give you very much time to submit your questions, but you can always send questions on Twitter at JB Briscoe throughout the week, especially your takes and takeaways after each game. But one question I got from Michael Dewey at Dewey Mike on Twitter today, as he said, will Jamaal Charles ever be a workhorse back for Kansas City again? And I think this is interesting, especially for Chiefs fans, just because we've seen this story at least twice. Priest Holmes, as I was growing up as a Chiefs fan, Priest Holmes was the guy. And then Larry Johnson showed up and started to become, you know, that dynamic other guy, the dynamic younger guy, who eventually took over, became the workhorse. And then Jamaal Charles did the same thing to Larry Johnson. And I've always thought, like, that's one of the greatest luxuries as a Chiefs fan that I have had, is to see great running backs replaced by great running backs. I mean, like, truly fantastic at their position. And I never expected to really see that happen again with the Chiefs, and I never really expected to see a back better than Jamaal Charles, because I think we forget just how effective he was in his prime. And right now, I'm looking at Spencer Ware with kind of those same goggles. And if you're not, it's, I get it. I understand if you're still holding that back. But I think for me, I'm looking at it in a different way. I think it is Spencer Ware right now is the best running back on the Chiefs. Right now, today, he absolutely is. If you can give me a perfect world where Jamaal Charles' knee is completely fine again, then maybe he's not. And if that's the case, then the Chiefs have two unbelievably talented running backs in their backfield. But Spencer Ware has kind of a workhorse stature to him. And with that in mind, I think we're pretty much in the NFL as a whole, I think we're pretty much beyond the era of workhorse running backs. A couple of guys that I can think of are like the stars who are, you know, quote unquote, the workhorses are even hurt now. Adrian Peterson's out for the year. Eddie Lacy's out for the year. Doug Martin has barely played. LeSean McCoy just got injured. I'm thinking that DeMarco Murray has had injury issues constantly. So Ezekiel Elliott maybe is the next one. Todd Gurley's struggling a little bit this year. There are some of those running backs you can say, that guy can carry a team. But in general, I don't think you have to have that anymore, especially if you can have a couple of guys that you trust really deeply. If you want to give me a backfield of Spencer Ware and Jamaal Charles, or even Spencer Ware and Charkandrick West, and Darren Reeves, then I think we start to move away from the idea that there is a running back, a workhorse running back that can do it all, like Jamaal Charles could, and maybe still can, hopefully still can. I'm not burying Jamaal Charles right now. But at the worst case scenario, I think the answer to that question is pretty much no, he won't be a workhorse back for Kansas City again, because Spencer Ware has demanded attention. And if you want to elongate Jamaal Charles' career, as I certainly do, I am in no hurry to get rid of Jamaal Charles, the best way to do that is to say, no, Jamaal, stay on the sidelines for this play, series, quarter. Stay over here for a little bit. We're going to let, this is a Ware series. This is a Ware situation. Because, no pun intended here, the wear and tear of Jamaal Charles is decreased. To be able to, and the Chiefs have been looking for that guy to pair with Jamaal Charles for years now. I mean, we watched Peyton Hillis and Thomas Jones try to do what Spencer Ware is doing now. We're now getting an older Jamaal Charles and a young Spencer Ware. If we can get those guys to be the lightning and thunder that Charles and Thomas Jones were supposed to be, we and the Chiefs should be extremely grateful for that. So no, I don't think Jamaal Charles will be the workhorse back for the Chiefs again. And I don't want him to be, strangely enough. I want the Chiefs to have both of these guys who are completely trustworthy, who are completely, completely dynamic, who can do a lot of things incredibly well, but do some things differently from each other. Because the power of having fresh running backs, and even fresh, extremely talented running backs, that is tremendously useful in the NFL. That is such a great luxury to have, and the Chiefs have it right now. And I think that's an interesting conversation, but the Chiefs running back position is just so deep, because we're talking about, hey, this future Chiefs Hall of Famer, this future probably NFL Hall of Famer, does he need to get carries this week, or is Spencer Ware good enough to take it? What a great question to be allowed to ask. That is going to do it for this episode of the Ref and the Kicker Chiefs podcast on blogtalkradio.com and on arrowheadaddict.com. Subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can go to blogtalkradio.com/RTK for the homepage. You can listen to the shows on Arrowhead Addict, any podcast app you can possibly find. Just go to it, search Roughing the Kicker, and if it shows up, subscribe to it. If it doesn't show up, let me know on Twitter at JB Briscoe, and I'll see if I can get it there. Any way you can get the show and make it as easy as possible for you to get the show, to find the show, to give it to people around you. I appreciate always whenever I see after a show other people retweeting the link and everything to help the Chiefs fans around you find the show also. I really appreciate that, and I really appreciate you listening every week, and specifically to this episode previewing the Chiefs-Saints matchup, where the Chiefs will have again a chance to, say it with me, do it again, make a believer out of the doubters, make me have faith in you again, Andy Reid. I want to believe. Bye, Mom.
Excuse me, sir, but could you drop the bass?